Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
A day after the earthquake, a race against time in Haiti.
When the road gets dark.
We have every single dozens and dozens of volunteers from other UN peacekeeping missions who are offering their service, want to go to Haiti to help.
People can help by caring about what happens in Haiti, by paying attention, by holding all of us accountable. Don't let our story die when it goes off the wires.
With tens of thousands of lives in the balance, the rescue operation begins. It's down to faith and time in Haiti.
And have a little faith in me.
On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday or Thursday, January 14th, and the takeaway is how much time does Haiti have? What are the rescuers going to need there? The clock is ticking for an estimated 3 million people facing water shortages and public health threats.
I mean, that's nothing to sniff at. I mean, when you're talking about traumatic injuries, literally, it's yep. down to hours. Yep. Let's get right to the top story this morning, the horrific sounds of Port-au-Prince. For thousands, it's another night spent sleeping outside amid the ruins and cries for help. The death toll remains a question mark, but everyone seems to agree it's at least in the tens of thousands. Because of a lack of heavy equipment, the search for survivors continues by hand at a frantic pace.
We need more people down here! We need more people down here!
But above the cries of sadness, many are gathering in public squares or empty streets or in churches, and they're trying to make sense of the madness around them.
The United States has taken the lead in launching a massive response in this hemisphere. Assessment teams began arriving last night. An aircraft carrier with supplies and 2,000 Marines is expected to arrive this afternoon, with other Navy warships en route. Aid agencies around the world are mobilizing as well. A search team from China arrived this morning. The World Food Program is flying in 100 tons of food. Flying in supplies, though, has been hamstrung because the control tower at the airport was destroyed. Former President Bill Clinton is the United Nations Special Representative for Haiti. He says the country desperately needs large quantities of just a few things.
What we need now is food, water, supplies for first aid, and shelter.
Water is the first priority. People could survive over a week without food, but they may die in days without water. Joining us now is Millery Polonais, who's a professor of American Studies at New York University. He's a Haitian scholar. What is Haiti's political response in a disaster like this? People are holding on, waiting for help. Does the Haitian government politically rise to the occasion in situations like this, or do people tend to become more cynical and bitter about their predicament?
Well, good morning. It's really two Haitis going on here. There's Haiti the state and Haiti the nation. Historically, Haiti the state has never been really an institution that has helped out the masses. It's always been very difficult for it because of, you know, economic issues and financial issues, things of that nature.
Well, that dual personality is really what we're going to explore all hour with you. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. If you want to donate to the massive relief effort in Haiti, you can go to our website, thetakeaway.org.
And looking at the markets, Asian markets were mixed. European indices up. Futures are flat, though. The Dow will get underway at 10,680. The S&P opens at 1,145 and the NASDAQ at 2,307.
Lots to talk about. Later this hour, we're going to take a look at low-cost, low-tech innovations that are going to help Haiti now, fuel that comes from sugarcane, straws that filter water, and wallpaper that actually can help prevent disease. And in the wake of Haiti's devastating earthquake, we're asking all of our listeners, what's the responsibility of the world's richest nation to one of the world's poorest nations? Should America be shouldering more of the financial burden in this hemisphere, or should relief be left in the hands of relief organizations? What's your take on the complicated history between the United States and nations like Haiti? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send an email to mytake at thetakeaway.org. Coming up, we'll explore the challenges relief organizations can expect in the complicated political situation we've just talked about in Haiti. Good morning, everyone. We want to get you fully updated on what's going on in Haiti. The official death count is just beginning in that nation, and various estimates say tens of thousands of people may die when the final count is put together. There are even estimates as high as 100,000, but search teams and health assessment teams are looking and trying to figure out where the most damage is and where the people are most threatened. And, of course, for people who are alive and survivors and people who are injured, time, as we are saying, is running out as the relief operation begins. Lucy Tondreau, you're a Haitian community advocate in Miami, Florida, joining us from Miami. When do you ship out for Haiti?
As soon as we have clearance. As a matter of fact, we were hoping to do so today, and unfortunately we haven't gotten clearance yet. As soon as we have the clearance, I will be one of the few people that are able to go and help.
There's a real relief traffic jam there because the dropping-off point is Miami for so many people who are headed to Haiti. Let me give you a sense of what you're going to see when you finally arrive in Port-au-Prince. This is from the Miami Herald's Francis Robles reporting in Haiti for your local public radio station, WLRN. Listen to this.
I don't want to give the impression that every building in Port-au-Prince has collapsed. That's certainly not the case. You have a very busy, vibrant city with everybody running around. And then let's say you have a flap where there's 30 buildings. Three of them may have collapsed. And maybe there were 30 people in those three buildings. So that you have a trail of dead bodies scattered throughout the city. You might just be walking down the street, and then there are three or four bodies laid out with white sheets over them on the sidewalk.
So, Lucy Tondreau, it's a grim situation there, but hardly lifeless. What have you heard about what you expect to find?
Well, I know what I'm expecting to find, since each time there's a calamity in Haiti, I'm always there on the ground helping. It's the feeling of helplessness right here in South Florida that is the hardest part. We know what to expect. We want to put our grain of salt in order to help. And we know that from watching the news, the bodies are laying everywhere in Port-au-Prince, the buildings that have collapsed, and mostly the people in despair, not knowing where to go, not able to find their loved ones, and it is heartbreaking.
Right. Well, you are with a medical response team leaving from Miami-Dade County as soon as there is clearance. As you say, Lucy Tondreau, stand by for us there in Miami. Millery Polonais, who's a professor of American Studies at New York University, we talked to you just at the top of the hour. That powerlessness that Lucy talks about, you know personally. You have family in Haiti who you still maybe have not heard from.
Yes, we our family has our cousin, unfortunately, who passed away, Azu, and we're looking for five other family members.
And, you know, when we were talking off air, and I was reminded of a very evocative soundbite I heard last night on a public radio program where you look at the sky, it's beautiful. You look down at the ground, it couldn't be more awful. Yeah. You said to me this morning, we're trying to figure out why Haiti.
Yeah.
That's a real feeling among Haitians. Explain. Help me to understand that.
Why Haiti? I mean, many Haitians take so much pride in their history, and the history goes back to the Haitian Revolution, obviously slavery, and obviously going as early as to the 20th century U.S. occupation of Haiti. So we think about all this stuff, and so we think about all the kind of obstacles that have been in our way in order to achieve and progress, and they've always been whether economic, natural disasters, something that is happening, political disarray.
And Lucy Tondreau, you know the history of Haiti as well as anyone. What makes things difficult in a relief operation? You've had a lot of experience.
Well, what makes things more difficult is the lack of infrastructure in Haiti, to lack of preparedness in Haiti also, and the fact that the people of Haiti have never been able to count on their government, in order to look for help. That's why everybody's looking into the international community to come and seek help. The people of Haiti, after the four hurricanes that hit Haiti back-to-back, they have that potentiality to rise back whenever there is sadness in the country. And it is difficult for us here in the United States to understand people with nothing are able to live and be happy on a daily basis. So it is very difficult for us here, not being able to get in touch with loved ones, not knowing exactly what's going on. Are they okay? There's no communication. We were not able to get through Haiti for the past 2 days. Hopefully today we'll have some phone lines.
And, you know, as you both point out, Lucy, you and Millery Polonais here in the studio, the Haitians are used to, have grown up with a history of not being able to rely on the government. That infrastructure you have learned not to rely on. I'm wondering, and again, the U.S. is at the head, the tip of the spear of the relief operation here in this hemisphere. There will probably be more resources mobilized from the United States than anywhere else in the world, nevertheless. Does the U.S. have some complicity in that history where Haitians have learned not to trust their government, Millery Polonais? Lucy's agreeing with you, too. Lucy, yeah. Stay on the line.
Without a doubt. I mean, from going back to the Haitian Revolution to Haiti wasn't recognized once it achieved its independence until 1862 by the United States, going to 1915 to 1934, U.S. occupation, moving up to various issues in which the U.S. has propped up, supported various governments from Elie Lescot to Estime to Duvalier. So they've always been a part of Haitian foreign policy and have always had their hand in all of this.
So the relief operation, you know, not to get involved in a lot of U.S. bashing guilt, but nevertheless, I mean, we're a part of that history. We ought to be a part of the solution. 877-8 my take or my take at thetakeaway.org. What do you believe is America's role in this hemisphere? Lucy Tondreau, before we go, why don't you take us out? You have some impressions?
Yes, I do. Not only the occupation of Haiti, but the army that was trained not to serve the people, but to kill people in Haiti. That was part of the heritage that we've got also after the occupation in 1934, after the United States left.
And each of these things, means that the people have difficulty having faith in the very infrastructure that they must rely on now for aid. And, of course, the priority is to get clean drinking water to the people and aid and food in these periods when time is running out. Millery Polonais, you're going to stay with us. Thanks so much. Lucy Tondreau, good luck in Haiti. I hope you can ship out today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Lucy Tondreau is a Haitian community advocate in Miami, Florida. And at 15 minutes after the hour, let's check in on some of the stories we're following.
As we've just been discussing, thousands of people in Haiti are spending a second night sleeping outdoors, fearing more aftershocks following the earthquake that devastated parts of the country on Tuesday. Haitian radio host Carol Pedra spoke to CBS about the aftershocks via Skype.
You see, right now, there's aftershocking. You see, it's shaking. Well, I don't know if you can feel it, but it's checking right now.
In the capital, Port-au-Prince, correspondents for our partner, the BBC, say the night has been punctuated with the sounds of people crying and praying. They describe children sleeping alongside dead bodies on the grounds of one hospital. They say many streets are lined by corpses covered with white blankets. Meanwhile, aircraft bringing rescue crews and specialist equipment have been flying into the capital. Medical and food aid is being distributed in some areas. Here's Rajiv Shah from the U.S. Agency for International Development.
The goal of the relief effort in the first 72 hours will be very focused on saving lives. That is the president's top priority.
Planes bringing teams with medical and food aid from a number of countries have started to arrive at the capital's airport, but there's no coordinated relief effort yet.
In other news today, the U.S. says it's monitoring what's described as a credible threat from al-Qaeda in Yemen against the U.S. homeland. That's according to two senior officials speaking with CNN. One source says officials came across with information relevant to aviation while following up on that Nigerian terror suspect in the failed Christmas Day bombing attempt. In Washington, there'll be another meeting on health care legislation today, that after yesterday's marathon meeting between the president and the Democrats.
That's a look at some of the stories we're watching this morning. In just a minute, we'll go to Washington. Did we find out anything new when the bankers came to explain themselves on Capitol Hill yesterday? Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.